Concerning men and women of the Bible. This morning we'd like to look at this man Noah. Now a few days ago, it would look like the whole world was covered with smoke, isn't it? At least in Klang, in Kuala Selangor, and here in PJ, in KL, everywhere we went, there was smoke. We could hardly see more than a kilometer in front of us. Right? It was so bad that the schools were closed. And the boys and girls enjoyed a two-day holiday. Right? Of course, you have to repay it one day on the Saturday classes. So the haze literally covered all around us. Right? God has been merciful. It's cleared now. The haze has moved up to Penang. So our friends there are suffering in our place. Right? In fact, one old man was believed to have died because of the haze. Right? It was so bad. This man had a history of asthma. And he passed away recently, and his family believed that the haze was the cause, one of the main reasons why this old man passed away. Now, long ago, after God first created the earth, this world was also covered, not with haze, but with a flood, a great flood. Waters covered this whole earth until even the highest mountain was underwater. There was not a single piece of dry land on this earth at that time. Everything on the earth died. Plants, animals, birds, fish, everything died. And because they died, today our cars can run with petrol. All these animals died, and they were collected in certain places, and they were covered with tons and tons of mud. And over time, these plants and animals which died, they rotted in the absence of oxygen, and slowly this organic matter from the plants and the animals became crude oil. And today we just have to dig down into this ground and pump up this crude oil, refine it, and we have petrol to run our cars. This is the result of the great flood of a few thousand years ago. And there's a place in Italy where in one area high above in a mountain, there were thousands and thousands of fish bones of all sizes. They all died together because during the flood, the mud came into this area and buried all these fishes, and they died together. And in many societies around the world, there is a story of a great flood, very similar to the story of Noah. And so, there was a great flood that occurred once in this land, on this earth. It may be a funny story. Some people will think this is impossible. How could there be so much water and it covers the whole world until even the highest mountains disappeared? People will say it's impossible. Impossible for such a thing to happen. But we have already seen waves which are taller than coconut trees. Right? Nobody imagined a tsunami could have occurred right at our doorstep. And it happened in December the 26th last year. It happened. What is impossible for man to do? What is impossible for us to imagine? It is possible for God. He can do anything he wishes because he is God and he is in control of everything. And God sent a great flood to this earth. And only Noah and his family and the animals which went with him into the ark were saved. God sent the flood to this earth because man was too wicked. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were chased out from the Garden of Eden, man spread. Man multiplied and they spread. And they forgot to worship God. They turned away from him. They became wicked. They sinned against God by worshipping sun, the moon, stones, worshipped statues. They became cruel, they became liars, they became selfish. And their minds, from the moment they woke up to the time they slept, their minds were thinking about wicked things to be done in their lives. And this saddened God to the extent that he wanted to make a new start. He was going to wash away all his wickedness. And he was going to start anew with Noah. We can be assured that if God did not send the flood to wash away all the wickedness from this earth, so many thousands of years ago, the world today will be worse than what it is now. Man will be more wicked than what he is now. So God changed the world. He washed away the whole world, leaving only Noah, his family, and the animals that went into the ark with him. Now let us look at Noah. Let's focus upon him. We look at three things. We look at the man. We look at the life. We look at the lessons that we can learn from his life. First of all, let's look at Noah, the man. Now Noah descended from what we call the godly line. After Adam and Eve were chased out from the Garden of Eden, he had many children. But the Bible only traces from Adam to his son Seth. You can see this in Genesis chapter 5 verses 3 onwards. From Seth, he traced the lineage down to the man Noah. So the Bible singles out this line, this godly line, the line that believes in him. And the people today, you and I, we are divided in the same way. You either follow God, or you don't follow him, which means you are following the devil. There is no in between. You cannot have one foot here with God and one foot there with the devil. You are either for God or you are against God. It's as simple as that. Noah belonged to God. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? And Noah, when God called him to make the ark, he was already 600 years old. That means Noah was already a very old man. In Genesis chapter 7 verse 6, it tells us, when the flood came, Noah was already 600 years old. And after the flood subsided, God allowed Noah to live another 350 years. So in total, Noah lived 950 years. Wow, very old man. No? Can you imagine a man living so old? We live to 70, 80, we are considered old already. No? But God allowed man during that time to live to such great age. And Noah was already an old man when God called him to build the ark. And from Noah, again it is traced, the godly line, to Abraham. You can see this in Genesis chapter 11 verse 26. And of course you know, from Abraham came the line which led to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so this was the godly line, from Adam to Noah, Noah to Abraham, and Abraham so forth, until our Lord Jesus Christ. And Noah was just not just an old man, he was a married man. He was married to one wife. And this is the ideal plan for a family by God. One man, one wife. The ideal family in God's plan. And Noah was blessed with three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And all these sons were married. They had their wives. And we can see in these passages that Noah's wife, his sons, and his daughter-in-laws all respected and honored Noah. Now why do we say this? It is shown by the fact that when the ark was completed, Noah's family followed him in. They helped him. You can quite be sure that Noah and his sons helped him in building the ark. Noah's sons helped him in collecting the food for the animals. Noah's sons helped him to gather the animals and let them into the ark. Noah, his wife, his sons, and his daughters-in-laws all obeyed him, submitted themselves to him. And because they submitted themselves to him, they were saved from the terrible flood. Remember Lot's wife? Lot was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sins. And when they fled from the city, what happened to Lot's wife? She turned around to see the city, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. She did not believe and follow Lot's example of fleeing from sins. She turned around and she was turned into a pillar of salt. She disobeyed. She did not honor her husband Lot. But Noah's wife and his children and his daughters-in-laws respected him, believed what he said, honored him, and they followed him into the ark. Now, What are the reason for this ideal family? This magic formula. Is there a magic formula to a happy family? A family where the children obey their parents and follow them? Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. The last part of verse 9. It says here, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. This tells us that Noah was a God-centered man. In contrast to the people around him, what were they like? In Genesis chapter 6 again, verse 5, it says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In contrast to Noah, all these people around him, every man, woman and child, their hearts were on evil. And that only not just for a while, but continually. They were not walking with God. They refused to obey him, and their thoughts were upon themselves, upon what they wanted, upon what they wanted to do. They refused to acknowledge God. They refused to follow him. They did not walk with God. Noah, on the other hand, walked with God. Noah was a God-centered man. He worshipped God. And in turn, he taught his sons to worship God. He read the Bible, or whatever was written about God. He in turn taught his children to read the scriptures. He observed the Sabbath day. And he in turn taught his children to observe the Sabbath in a way which pleases the Lord. And God is pleased with such a family. God is pleased with such a family life where he is placed first. Not the children, not the father's career, not the house, not the car. God. When we place God first, God is pleased. And God will smile upon such a family. So, fathers in our midst, mothers in our midst, when we pray for our children, when we try and teach them from the Bible, when we try and lead them in prayer, sometimes it may be very frustrating. Right? Sometimes they don't seem to learn. Sometimes they don't seem to want to follow, but we are to persevere because what we are doing is the right thing. When we lead a family in a God-centered way, God watches, God is pleased, God will bless, God will smile upon such a family. A family which puts God first will experience God's smile. Exactly what we see in Noah's family. Noah was honored by his children, his wife, and even his daughters-in-laws, because God smiled upon him who walked with him. So secondly, we look at the life of Noah. We saw the man, he's a God-centered man. Secondly, we look at his life, the life of Noah. Now God looked around his creation. He looked around at every man, woman and child on the earth that he had created. And only one man caught his attention. And that man was Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 verses 8 to 9, it says here, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. First of all, in the life of Noah, we see that first, Noah found grace in God's eyes. What does grace mean? Grace means undeserved mercy from God. Grace means undeserved kindness from God. None of us, not you, not me, nobody ever born into this world since the time began, nobody that's going to be born in the future, none of us deserves any kindness from God. Each and every one of us, without exception, deserves God's anger. Each and every one of us, without exception, deserves to go to hell. Why, you ask yourself? Why? because we have inherited a sinful nature from our forefather Adam. We have a sinful nature. You don't understand what a sinful nature is? I'll give you an example. You have a baby, a little baby, innocent, pure. The little baby is playing with a piece of dirty cloth. No? It's been playing with this towel. It is black, it is smelly, it stinks. You know it is dirty, but the baby loves to hold it, to smell it, to put it in its mouth. Why a baby enjoys it, you will never understand, but some babies do that. No? You take away the cloth and try to wash it, it's clean, you give it back to them, they don't want it anymore. They want it dirty, smelly, and black. They want to play with it. You, as a good parent, you know that it is dangerous. But sooner or later, the baby is going to get diarrhea or get sick because the cloth is so dirty. So you do the right thing. You take away the cloth from the baby and try to wash it. What does the baby do? It doesn't say thank you to you. The baby will yell, scream, and shout. The baby wants a dirty piece of cloth back to play with it. You didn't have to teach the baby to get angry. You didn't have to teach the baby to sin like that, to want its way. That is our sinful nature. All of us have a sinful nature in us. We can feel jealous for the wrong reasons. Our friend has worked hard and been promoted. We feel jealous. Ah, if only I had took that position instead. We can feel jealous when our neighbor's child does well, more A's than ours. We can get angry for the wrong reasons. We are lazy. We have our inherited sinful nature. And we have our own sins to answer for. We have a sinful nature, which is inherited from Adam, and we have commit our own sins, which we must answer for. We have lied against God, we have lied against man, we have cheated, we have been cruel. Now boys and girls, if you catch a grasshopper and you look at it, and then you just take out a leg, that is cruelty, that is wickedness. When we beat a red light, if you're driving, you're sinned. All of these things we must answer to God for. And Noah was a sinner like any one of us around here. He was a sinner like all the people that surrounded him during his days. But God showed kindness to him. God was gracious to him. God was merciful to him. And because God was gracious to him, because God was merciful to Noah and his family, no one else was saved except Noah and his family. That was God's kindness towards him. And because God was kind to Noah, he was able to live a just life. Noah, what do you mean by a just life? A just life means a person who has been saved. Justified. Noah was justified in the eyes of God. Noah was not condemned to die like all the other people around him. He was saved. Now, you ask yourself, today we teach that a person is only justified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah lived before the Lord Jesus came. So how on earth could he believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He never saw him. We, on the other hand, today, we can look back and we see that the Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He lived a perfect life. He did not sin a single time. And he died on the cross for us. His blood was shed for us. We can look back and believe on him. What about Noah? He did not see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He did not see the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross. So how could he be justified? How could he be saved from his sins? Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His finished work. Noah had a forward-looking faith. He had a faith in the Christ that was coming. He had no clear idea who the Christ would be, but he had an idea of the way that God would save the world. Remember the story of Abel and Cain? Both came to worship God. Abel brought his animal, sacrificed it, and burned it to the Lord. Cain brought his vegetables and fruits, sacrificed this to the Lord. Who was accepted? Abel. Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God. Cain was rejected. So the moment Adam and Eve sinned against God, God instituted the sacrifice of animals, showing to them that the forgiveness of sins can only be realized by the killing of an animal, by the release of blood. And so for Noah, he knew that the coming sacrifice that he was doing was pointing to somebody who will come to save him through his sacrifice on the cross. So Noah had a forward-looking faith. We have a faith that looks backwards to the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Noah's faith and our faith is the same. Noah's faith was in God and what He said. We have a faith in what God has told us through the Bible. We have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah's faith and our faith are the same. All the others around Noah did not believe God. All the others around Noah did not have faith in what God said. And so they were condemned. They remained outside the ark and they were drowned. They died for their sins. Noah obeyed God completely. He built the ark in accordance to God's commands. He had faith in God. He obeyed Him. He built this ark and he was saved, together with his family and all the animals that were brought together. He was a just man and he was described as a perfect man. Perfect does not mean without sin. He was perfect in the sense that compared to all the people around him, his obedience was perfect. All the other people, God said, God looked upon the earth and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Only Noah was a perfect man. Perfect in the sense that he obeyed God. He believed in God, he followed what God said. Whereas all these other people, they have fallen away. They refuse to hear God, they refuse to obey Him, they refuse to follow Him. And so they perished. Noah found grace from God. He found undeserved mercy from God. Have we found grace from God? Is God kind to us? Or is God, because He's still angry with our sins, His hand is still heavy upon us? Let us see for ourselves. How does our life match up to that of Noah? Noah found grace in God's eyes. And secondly, Noah walked with God. When you describe two persons as walking, they're side by side. Only friends can walk together. The tiger cannot walk with the goat, because the tiger will eat the goat. They are enemies. Enemies will never walk together. Enemies cannot stand the sight of one another. Enemies hate one another. Enemies want to do harm to one another. But Noah was not an enemy with God. Noah was a friend of God, and he lived in peace with Him. Noah walked with God. Noah had an assurance from God that God was no longer angry with him. Noah could believe and trust in what God said, because he knew that God was his friend. He knew that God, the Almighty Creator, the King of heaven and earth, was constantly watching over him and his family. He knew that he was safe, even when he was surrounded by wickedness all around him. Imagine Noah and his family. They were surrounded by all these people. They were busy building the ark. They were surrounded by all these people who were laughing at them, making fun of them, I won't be surprised if some people try to destroy their work. But God kept him safe because he was God's friend. Now you say, friends work together. Friends can see one another. Friends can see the face. Can see the body language, whether they are comfortable or not. Friends are in constant touch. Noah walked with God, meant that he was in constant communion with God. He knew the mind of God. He knew what to do to please God. He knew what was the will of God in his life. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. The moment the flood ended and the ark landed on dry land, the moment Noah came out of the ark, he straight away built an altar and he straight away sacrificed clean animals to the Lord. He did not wait for a commandment from the Lord. He did not sit there and twiddle his thumb and see what God would tell him to do. He did not have to wait for a commandment. Noah, build me this altar. Noah, collect these animals and sacrifice them to me. He did not wait. The moment he came out from the ark, he built an altar and he worshipped God. He knew what God wanted him to do. Worshipping God was a normal part of his life. He knew what pleased God. He knew the will of God for him in his life. What is the first thing that we do on every new day? We wake up in the morning, what is our first thought? What is the favorite book on our shelf? What is our favorite day of the week? Do we look forward to coming to Sunday service? Do we enjoy the Bible studies? Do we look forward to the prayer meetings? When we come to seek God's help and see His answers to our prayers. When we are faced with a problem, a big problem, who is the first person we turn to for help? When we are blessed by God with something special, who do we thank for this? Who do we acknowledge? Or do we say, I'm just lucky? When we are faced with problems, do we acknowledge that it is God who has sent those problems for a purpose? And we should learn from those problems. We should ask God to help us see what He wants us to do through those problems. Are we walking with God? Are we in constant communion with Him? Are we, like Noah, a friend of God? So Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah walked with God. Let us examine ourselves. Of course not all, some of us are ladies, some are boys and girls. We cannot compare with Noah with a man, you might say. But we can compare ourselves with his life. What is our life compared to that of Noah? Are we God-centered? Have we found grace in the eyes of God? Are we walking with God in our lives? And then finally, the lessons that we can learn from the life of Noah. First lesson is this. Christ is the only way of salvation. How were Noah and his family and all the animals with them, how were they saved? How were they saved? They were saved in the ark. They did not save themselves by running to the highest ground on earth, by climbing trees. Because God caused the waters to flood the whole earth until even the highest mountains disappeared. There was no single piece of dry land left on the earth. We are quite sure some people made their own boats. You know, the fishermen would have their own boats. They would have gone to their boats and floated with the floods. But the rain came for 40 days and 40 nights. any boat which is open, the water, rainwater will fill that boat and cause the boat to sink. You imagine the rain is falling, you have a pail, you're in the boat. Okay, the boat is filling up with water, you take the pail, you check out. Huh? You remove the water from the boat. How long can you do it? As the rain keeps on falling, you keep on removing water from the boat. Eventually, you will become tired. You will stop. But the rain will not stop. It will keep coming down. And your boat will be filled with water. And your boat will sink. You may find a boat to hide in. But can you keep enough food to survive? The flood lasted for 1 year. 1 whole year. The flood water was on the earth. The only safe place on earth during that time of the flood was in the ark. Noah, his family, and all the animals went in, and God shut the door. And God made sure that no matter how high the waters rose, God made sure that all in the ark were safe. The ark was specially constructed to float. Even the type of wood was mentioned by God. The dimensions were mentioned. And the ark was totally covered. It was more like a floating box rather than a boat. It was totally covered to keep the water from entering the ark and flooding it. It had no sail. No? It was not a sailing boat. Because the ark was not meant to move. It was just a covered box and it was meant to float. And it floated. There was enough room in the ark for all the animals, for the whole family of Noah. There was enough food for all of them, even though the flood lasted for 1 year. The whole earth and every living being on the earth was destroyed. Only those in the ark were saved. There was salvation nowhere else except in that ark. That ark, my dear listeners, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1 verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Only Christ can take away your sin. Only Christ can take away my sin. Only Christ can take away the sins of this world. This whole world is under the curse of sin. Sin came into the world when Adam disobeyed God. And this whole world has been suffering since then. That's why animals eat animals. That's why some animals will eat even their young. And those of us who keep fishes, you know, yeah. The moment the baby is born from the mother fish, you better remove the mother or remove the baby. If not, the baby will be eaten by the mother. That's why animals cannot even live in peace with animals. You know? For those of us who keep fishes, you put two fishes together, most often they will fight. They will fight, they cannot live in peace. In this world, it's very difficult to live in peace sometimes. Neighbors will quarrel against neighbors. Even in the church there are quarrels. Man is cursed. We are constantly quarreling, fighting, we are becoming more and more selfish, more and more greedy. You know the hate that we just experienced? The Indonesians are pointing their fingers at us. Because Malaysian companies have gone over to Indonesia, bought land, cleared the land to plant oil palm trees to produce the oil. And what they do is they slash. They cut down the forest. Instead of getting rid of the vegetation in an ecologically friendly manner as we do it here, we let the trees rot. Over there, the fastest way is to burn. So our companies go over there, cut down the trees in the forest, cut them all down, and the fastest way to clear everything is to burn, because now it's a very dry season. And they burn the trees there. And because of their greed, because they want to save money, they export the haze to us here. So the Indonesian says, hey, it's not our fault, it's your own people. Don't blame us. We suffer because of man's greed. Parents are becoming less and less loving to their children. Children are becoming more and more disobedient. You read the case about the boy in Trengganu, 17-year-old boy. The teacher ticked him off or advised him. The next moment, the boy burns the teacher's car. The next moment, he tries to burn the headmaster's car. The headmaster was smarter than him. He was waiting for him. Crazy, isn't it? Children can do that. The world is not getting better. Divorce rates are going up. Parents are abandoning their children, and children are abandoning their parents. The world is becoming less and less safe. When I was a boy, there was no such thing as terrorists. You don't have to worry about bombs in the subway. You never heard of people crashing planes into buildings. You never heard of all these funny things that's going on. Crime is going up. Bombs are everywhere. There are more diseases coming up. We have SARS, we have poultry flu, now we have swine fever. The whole world is suffering together with man. There's earthquakes, tsunamis, volcano eruptions, pollution left and right. There's a haze. Now there's even poison in our food. PCBs, dioxins, all these kinds of things. Man is trying very, very hard to save himself. And he's trying very, very hard to save the world. Inventing new medicines to cure diseases. Inventing new procedures to prevent themselves from getting old. I mean, in Klang, we just found out there's a clinic doing good business, selling Botox injections. You know what Botox is? Botox is a sort of poison, which when you inject into your skin, it makes the skin shrink. Your skin shrinks, you lose all your lines. No bird feet. No lines here and there. You have a nice stretched skin. It's not cheap. $300 an injection. The ladies line up for it. We are trying to preserve ourselves. We are trying to keep ourselves alive. Man is sending rockets into space to see whether we can stay on the moon or whether Mars can be habitable or whatever. Just in case this Earth is destroyed, then we have somewhere else to go. Man is trying to cut down on his pollution, cut down on his by recycling and all these things. But we know, we should know, there's only one real hope. Only one real hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus comes to save us and this whole world from the effects of sin. The only salvation during Noah's time was the ark. The only salvation today is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no any other way except the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, second lesson, faith and obedience is the only way to Christ. Now imagine, when Noah heard God's warning, I will destroy this earth with a flood. Noah said, yes, I believe you. And when God commanded Noah to build the ark, and Noah said, no, I will wait. I'll wait for the rain to come, then I'll start building. You imagine what would happen to Noah? Would he have survived? No. If he just agreed, I believe that the Lord God was going to destroy the earth, but he did not obey God and build the ark, he would not have survived. He and his family would have drowned together with everyone else on that earth. And today, if we just say, yes, I agree that God is angry with my sins. Yes, I agree that God will punish me in hell. But you refuse to repent of your sins. You refuse to turn to Christ. You refuse to believe in God. You will get nowhere. Please turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 19 and 20. It says here, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But you, do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Even Satan and his followers, the demons, believe there is a God. They believe that God will punish sin. They believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. They believe all these things, but they refuse to repent of their sins. They refuse to turn to God for forgiveness. And they will perish in hell forever. You will have to do better than the devil and his friends. You will have to do far, far better than him. You cannot just say, I agree that this world is getting worse because of sin. You cannot just say, I agree that I am a sinful person. You cannot just say, I agree that I must go to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But you do nothing. It is all in the head and nothing else. Nato. No action. Talk only. There will be no salvation for you if you just keep it up here. Nothing happens here in the heart. Nothing happens in your life. You must act even as Noah acted. God told him to build the ark. Where? It was not near a river, it was not near the sea. It was in the middle of nowhere. Far away from the sea. It wasn't a small boat, it was a huge boat. 450 feet long. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. It took him almost a year to complete it. You can imagine as Noah was doing all this work with his family. You can imagine his friends coming, his relatives. They come to see his work. They would have been laughing at him, calling him stupid, calling him an old fool. He would have been a joke of his society. Many would have advised him to stop all this nonsense. Come back to the reality. Come back to life. The floods will never happen. You are wasting your time building this ark. He pressed on. Nothing stopped him. He pressed on and he was rewarded. He completed the ark. He went into the ark with his family and with animals as the Lord commanded. And he was saved. Genesis chapter 6 verse 22 and Genesis chapter 7 verse 5, he says here, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah acted exactly as instructed by God and he was saved. And it is the same today. You have heard that God sent the flood thousands of years ago to destroy the wicked of this world. He will come again. The facts are there for us to see. The world is not getting better. Man is not improving. In fact, the world is getting worse by the day. And this cannot go on forever. It cannot go on forever. It will not go on forever because God will step in and put a stop to all this. God will come again soon, one day, to judge all of us for our sins. Every wicked thought, every wicked word, emotion, everything is spoken against him. All of us will have to answer to him for this. There is a saying, all good things must come to an end, isn't it? We can't enjoy something forever, it must end. Similarly, all wickedness will be judged by God. It will not go on forever. How do we feel when somebody has robbed us? And next moment we hear that the police has caught this man, recovered our things, and put this crook in jail. How do we feel? We feel happy, right? We feel satisfied. Justice has been done. When the crook gets away, we are angry. Right? We feel cheated. We feel robbed because the crook has not been punished. God is a holy and just God. He cannot turn a blind eye to sin. He cannot say, you sin against me, never mind, forget about it. If he said that to us, he is no longer God. He must punish sin. If he doesn't, he is no longer God. And there can be no escape from him. Evil men may escape justice in this world, on this earth. They may get away with all their wickedness. But they will never get away from God, who rules in eternity. There can be no escape from him. The only way to escape is to be like Noah, to do according to all that God commanded you, not to leave out anything. If you have a heart disease and you are dying of a bad heart, you go and see the doctor. Do you tell the doctor what to do? Do you tell the doctor, okay, this is the operation you must do for me, this is the medication you must give me? Do you tell that to the doctor? If you are dying of a heart disease, you shut up and you listen to what the doctor tells you. You follow what the doctor tells you. Each and every one of us here has a soul. And that soul is far, far more important than this body. This body will rot. When I die, it will rot on earth, it will disappear. But the soul will live forever. The soul is indestructible. After you die, your soul will go to either two places, one or two places. Either you go to heaven to be with God, or you go to hell to be with the devil. And that is forever. Not just for 1 minute, 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 years, 100 years. It is forever. It is eternal. Our souls are far more precious than anything else that we can have on this earth. And God knows how to save our souls. God has done everything necessary to save our souls. There is nothing for us to do. All we need to do is to hear, to obey. Noah heard, Noah acted, Noah built the ark, entered the ark, and he was saved. Today we hear, we need to believe, we need to act, we need to go to God, to tell God of our sins, to ask him for forgiveness, to tell him to help us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and save us from our sins. Nothing stopped Noah from finishing the ark. Nothing stopped him from getting into the ark before the floods came. He obeyed perfectly. You want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you fear your friends will laugh at you. Perhaps you fear that your relatives will reject you. Perhaps you fear that your boss will make your life miserable for you. You feel that you are still young. Let me enjoy my life first before I commit my life to the Lord. Let me tell you, even children can have heart attack today. Life is uncertain. You can go anytime. You worry. You worry that you will not be able to obey God's laws, to follow Him perfectly. You worry that you are too sinful. You tell God, my sins will never be forgiven by you because they are so bad. If you have realized that you sinned against God, if you know that God is angry with you, you know that this world will come to an end one day. You know that God will judge this world and all the wicked people in this world. You know that if you do not turn to Him, you will go to hell together with the rest of the wicked ones. Then you must go to Christ. You must go to Him. Ask God to help you believe in Him. Ask God to help you obey His laws. Ask God to help you to leave all your sins behind. Ask God to forgive you your sins. Ask God to give you strength to turn from your old life of death to the new one of life. Do not let anything stop you. Not your friends, not your parents, not your jobs, nothing. Your souls are precious. Do not let anything stop you from saving your souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is short. This world will not last forever. It cannot last forever because God will not allow it. This world and everything in it belongs to God. He loves this world because He created it perfect. Now man, because of his sin, he is destroying this world and he is destroying himself. God will not allow this to go on any longer. He will come again one day. When we do not know, but He will come again. He will reclaim this world as His own. and he will wipe away all evil on this earth. He will remove every wicked person. He will remove every wicked deed, every wicked thought. He will remove all these things and he will make this world new again. When that happens, when he comes again to renew this world, where will you be? Where will you be? Will you be in the ark safe with him? Or will you be outside waiting for the floods to come? When he comes again, where will he find you? Will he find you in Christ, where your soul will be safe? Or will he find you outside the Lord Jesus Christ? And he will have to condemn you forever in the fires of hell. Let's close by singing hymn.